Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
So 100%, as we focus on women this morning and on a part two, once again, I just want to say, it is for everyone, amen. It's not only for women. It is so important. There is universal truths, and definitely, you know, Paul writing these things to Titus, saying, you know, in verse 1, we saw a lot of avoid these people. I don't know if you can remember, you know, avoid the insubordinate, avoid the deceivers, the people that wants to deceive. And then we see in chapter 2, teach what accords with sound doctrine, and then it starts with qualities, you know, the qualities that we should have as the bride of Christ. I mean, older men, older women, younger women, we're going to do next week younger men, I think Vian will do it, and then it also goes into bond servants. But having the qualities, how does it look like to practically look, yeah, how should we look like? I mean, how do we apply the gospel? And therefore, you know, chapter 2 asking us, you know, what and showing us what we should devote ourselves to. What qualities should we have? And like I said, it's for both. It's for men and for women, and it's important to understand the context. And as well, if you are a man here today, you may have a wife, and hey, that's important. We are called to wash our wives with the word and to help her to grow. The other way around as well. So, but therefore, it is important for everyone to listen well. We have daughters, amen. Some of us have daughters that we need to raise as younger women and younger and older women, and it teaches us these things. And of course, as Vian also shared, always we are fundamentally community based. Amen. We are a church that focuses on other people. Amen. So therefore, don't switch off if you are a man today. And then we also shared last week, you know, there's this false view of women, you know, the enemy, how he likes to get his hand into, you know, planting the lie, the feminist movement, I can say, that women, you are not enough. You know, that is the lie that the enemy brings. You are not enough. You need to be like a man. You need to have the same, whatever it may be, and therefore we fight for these rights and we fight for everything, and it's just a lie. Amen. We are 100% equal, and you are perfectly made. Amen. And you are so needed. Amen. For this church. Amen. You are so needed for God. He made you to be a woman for a specific reason. You can only do things a woman can. Men cannot do what women can do. So, and therefore, don't ever believe that lie. Amen. The work of redemption that Jesus came and did, he brings us these truths that we are valued. Amen. And it's important that during today, you know, during the service, men and women, you know, test your heart, you know, constantly. Are there things in your life, you know, lies that you believe? And it all comes from traumatic experiences. It comes from hurt. And therefore, we need to forgive. We shared that a lot last week. We need to repent of our sin, and we need to forgive so that we can believe the truth, amen, what Jesus has for us, that you are accepted and you are enough. So I'm going to also continue in the introduction, but I want us to read the verses so that you can have some context for those who were not here last week. I'm going to start at verse 1 because it sets the tone and it sets an important tone. It says, but as for you, writing to Titus, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Then it starts with older men, saying older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They ought to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. So we will mostly focus on verse 4 and 5. Last week we shared about older women saying they ought to be reverent, which is another word for temple fitting, to be holy, to be someone that looks at someone that is reverent is like, wow, that person really loves Jesus. It attracts them. And as you are, you as an older woman, are you reverent? And maybe just to disclaim again, if you were not here maybe in the last few weeks, older and younger, what that means is not over 50 and under 50, but we see what Scripture teaches is that you are an older person in general when your children is going out of the house. Amen? And you know, in those days when these letters were written, you know, older women can be as old as, you know, 35, 36, then they are already out of the house. So they didn't have university and schools and things like that. So do not focus so much on the age, but rather the capacity for you to train younger ones. Amen. We see that the focus here is that the older women, obviously not slanderers or slaves to wine, being reverent to teach what is good, but so train the young women. So it's important that if you are older, you also train the younger ones. And our church in general, we are a bit of a younger church. I mean, so a lot when this church was started, it was a bunch of young engineers about 15 years ago. And they needed to do a lot of the older men and older women jobs. Amen. And that can still be the case today. So also important to keep that in mind. Okay, so just reading these beautiful verses. We shared a bit about the older women and the younger women saying, you know, and so the older women must train the young women to firstly love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. So that is what we'll focus on. We also read verse 1 in the beginning, and it has a quite of a practical approach to it. So if just throw on verse 1 again there, Peter, sorry. It says, but as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. So that word doctrine is also the word teaching in Timothy. That same word in Greek is the word teaching. So if you would, you know, directly translate it, it would say, you know, teach what accords with sound teaching. But that first word teach also is actually speak. So speak what accords with sound teaching. And how I like to, what I see what Paul wants to say is teach them by showing them. That word sound doctrine, it means almost instruction. Okay, it's important to remember that. And we all know an instructor, right? A swimming instructor, you know, they show you how to swim. And as well, it's important that if you look at an instructor and they cannot instruct, let's say you are a swimming instructor and you cannot swim, you know, it's going to be quite useless. So when we look at this start, verse 1, we see this approach of it's something that we are practically going to show to other people by teaching them, of course, obviously also following sound doctrine, but there's a practical approach to what's coming. And it makes sense, amen, because there's a lot of qualities now listed. Okay, so keep that in mind. It constantly asks us the question, do you practice what you preach? Do you practice what you believe? Because this is the qualities. Boom. And then it comes. Older men, older women, younger women. And I'd like you to ask this question constantly, which is very good, the word that Zanya also shared. Is God the king of my heart? Because then these will be the qualities that are present in my life. Amen. And if not, I want you to ask the Lord, you know, why isn't it? It's probably because God is not the king of my heart. And we'll get to that as well. But it challenges us all the time. Okay. A bit on that word train. that word train, where the older woman is going to train the younger woman, that word train is also the word encourage and advise. So younger women are to advise and encourage. Older women are to advise and encourage the younger women. And, you know, these things are listed because it's not automatic. Amen. It's not automatic to love your husband, although you might think so. It's not automatic to love your husband correctly. Okay, and therefore it's important to also ask the question, you know, how does it look to do it correctly? And that's the right question. And there are people in the church to guide us. I mean, and I'll share a bit of practical things this morning that will help. But it's important because I can see love different than the way you see love. But there's one way that God sees love, and we should ask him, how does it look like to practically apply that love? Amen. Okay. So I think something that the enemy hates, and this is why Paul mentions this, is he hates it when younger women and older women love their households. I mean, we see that all of these things, you can go again to verses 3 to 5, Pete. All of these things, it says, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children. Then it goes to be self-controlled, to be pure, pure to your husband, working at home, kind, submissive to their own husbands, so that the word of God may be reviled, saying that this is what the word of God says. You know, everything that the word of God says, it aligns with the household. It's focused on the household. And if you are a woman here today, I want to say that this is God's heart. He wants you to love your husbands. He wants you to love your children. He wants you, if you are not married yet, he wants you to love your parents, children. I mean, the same for you. Okay, so, and it's so crucial to understand what God's heart is for a woman. I mean, it's not that they, you know, it says also they're working at home, and we'll get to that. It doesn't mean that you cannot work. You may work, but to love your households is what's, that is God's heart for you. I mean, and we see it, and we'll pack it out nicely. And I think what the enemy does and how he tries to infiltrate that beautiful design for women, you see, he brings that lure. I want to say almost he waves a carrot, you know, before your noses, which is things like a great career. I mean, demanding careers. You know, women following these demanding careers. As well as, you know, I almost want to take out my phone. You know, your phones, TV, soapies, all those things to be passive in loving your household. It's what the enemy will constantly bring at you. It's so important to just be aware of that. And are you prioritizing what God wants you to prioritize this morning? Amen. Is he the king of your heart? You know, because then we will want to love our husbands, and we will want to love our children. And there will be constantly a lot of things that he throws before our eyes. So let's jump into the details. So from verse 4, older women train younger women. So for older women, remember what we said last week, you are called to train the younger ones. Amen. And therefore, it is both younger and older's responsibility to seek, you know, someone to train and someone to be trained by. Amen. And we asked this question last week, you know, think of a name. You know, think of a name. Who is training you? Who are you trained by? You will never be old enough, you know, to be not trained. So there's always someone that needs to give input in your life, to give the truths into your life. And also, you need to train someone, encourage, advise them, and showing them how this is done. Amen. And then asking the question once again, is this true of your life? Is this true of your life? Do you love your household? And then it goes, starts with husbands, and then it goes, we spoke about husbands quickly last week. Then it goes over to children. And it's interesting because I mentioned it's not automatic to love your children. And we may ask this question, why is he even saying this? It's easy to love my children. I always love them. But it's not so much focused on the emotion of love, but rather on how does it look like? You know, how do we practically apply this love? And we see a lot of beautiful things in Scripture, but something that I'd just like to start off with is, women, you are called to raise your children in a godly manner. Amen. To teach them Scripture, to teach them how to pray, to teach them to a saving relationship with Christ. Amen. That's number one, and that will stay the most important. If you do that, there's a lot of beautiful things that will come with that. Amen. And we see things like disciplining. We see in Proverbs 29, verse 15, which is really important to discipline our children correctly. A rod and reproof imparts wisdom, but a child who is unrestrained brings shame to his mother, which means that both is needed. Sometimes reproof is needed, sometimes the rod is needed. And it's important, we all know that saying, die boompie buig wanneer hy klein is, that it's speaking of the rod. Okay, speaking of, they need physical discipline when they are young, when they are small. I mean, and as they grow older, we can impart and we can reprove and we can better teach. It's not going to work that great, you know, to try to teach my one-year-old all the time. He needs to feel it sometimes, okay? And therefore, a rod is needed. We also see Proverbs 22, verse 6, says, train a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. And therefore, discipline is so important. It's so much easier for children to be disciplined in the correct way in order that they can, you know, submit under leadership, submit under their boss one day, obey the basics, the government, and ultimately one day, God as well. I mean, and therefore, disciplining is so important for the wife as well. Yes, I want to say this as well. The husband is ultimately responsible for discipline, but both needs to discipline. The poor children will be very, I want to say, dear makar. If only one disciplines, what are they going to do? They're going to run to the other one, and it's going to be an unhealthy way of disciplining, and therefore both needs to align how, as well as both needs to do it. Okay, it's important for the wife that is working at home, mostly with the children, to be able to know how to discipline and to also do this. And I know how it goes. We have not three under three anymore. My oldest one came three yesterday, but we had three under three for a while. So I know it's busy in the house. I mean, I know when it gets to chaos, and often we have this temptation of disciplining out of anger, the first thing, and also calling our children names, you know, saying they're stupid. And I just want to say that it really breaks down. It's sinning against God's design, and it's sinning against God, and it's just wrong. Amen. So rather take a breather and do it the right way, okay? But calling your children stupid or something like that is really not good, okay? Amen. Okay, so that brings us to our first point, and it's an important point. It's just love your household well. Obviously, this is for women, but I want to say this is for men as well. It's a beautiful universal truth for both to understand this. In this context, it's written to women, but I want to say, do you love your household well? Do you love them, and are you willing to love them in a godly manner? I mean, and it's a deep question. It's God's design for the wife to care and love the home. Your children need you, and your husband needs you. I mean, it's important. Okay, then we go over into all these words. There's a lot of things, all these qualities. It says, it starts off with self-control. Self-control. We spoke about self-control a while ago. Vian had a beautiful sermon, and what he basically said is, you know, if our desires are at the right place, you know, what Zanya also shared, if God is the king of my heart, my desire is to please him. Amen. And is your desire to have these qualities? Because then self-control will be easier. Amen. And we see with younger women, I think specifically that's why it's said, you know, they are busy. They are 16, 17, 18, 19 years old in this letter. Those are referred to the younger women. And they are still learning self-control. They are still learning discipline. Amen. And therefore for us as well today, it's just so applicable. As we go from school into going to somewhere where we study or starting a work, we have to develop some self-control. Amen. So for the younger women, it's important. Do you have self-control? Are you ready to do life? Because before you marry and before you get children, it's important to have the right discipline, to have self-control. We always say, when Robin and Vian also said, or shared, you know, when they marry people, they say, you know, it's based on paths, the path that you are on, and not the promise that you will make. So the path that you are on now, the self-control that you have now, that won't change when you marry. Amen. So you have to develop it before you marry, before you go into the job. Amen. Not the promise that you're going to make, but the path that you are on. Okay, it's quite important. And it's easy to say, you know, what do you desire? And I tell you, yeah, you need to desire God. And you're like, yes, yes, I'll do that. But let me give you some other desires. And then you tell me what you desire most. So do you desire for your children to have a good life? Yes, 100%. Do you desire it more than God? That's the question. Okay, we may ask some difficult questions. Do you desire a bit bigger salary? Yeah, it would be nice. Do you desire it more than God? More than you want to live a godly life? This is the question. Do you desire your children to go to university? Yeah. But as soon as these desires that are sometimes beautiful, you know, become more important than what God wants us to do, how does active obedience look like? You know, if that becomes more important, that will be our king of our hearts. Amen. So what is the king of your heart this morning? Especially younger women, you know, we are writing this to. So to get our hearts in the right place, it's really important. Then secondly, we see it starts to be self-controlled, and then it says to be pure. What is pure? This refers to being morally both pure in your thoughts and in your actions. And it speaks of towards the household, towards your husband. Amen. Being pure towards your husband is to take the thoughts captive if there's someone at work that's flirting with you. Amen. Also your actions. And this will inevitably be a bit more difficult for women, you know, in a professional career. I mean, where there's a lot of other men and a lot of other women, it will be a bigger temptation. So we need to be committed as young women to our spouse. I mean, we made that promise to them, and this is what it means as well. To be pure towards our husband in that way, also our actions, but also it means, this word pure in a sense, do we really, sincerely love them? And what I want to say is you need to be present when you are at home. Okay, what does that mean? It means, I'm obviously there, you know, what do you mean? It means like we need to be presently loving them. Okay, we can sit in front of the TV, you know, from the time we get to the house, from the time that we leave, and that will not be loving. I mean, we can sit on our phones from the time that we get to our house until we go to sleep. it's not loving. And I almost want to say, like, put your phone away for those times, from 5 to 8 until they're in bed. But have a time slot where you may use your phone, but it's so important to be present, to be presently loving them, to impart to them wisdom, to impart to them how does it look like to read the Bible, how does it look like to prepare food. It's things that are important in their household. And women, I also want to say, be careful of reading and watching movies that's, you know, full of illicit romance. You know, even there's a lot of movies, there's a lot of secular books that just gets our minds in the wrong places, gets our minds off what we should be doing. I mean, it makes us unpure, if you get what I'm saying. We've all watched a movie and we're like, I don't feel great. If you watch that movie, it's full of just things of this world. You know, it's rated 18. Let me say that. It's not good for you. I almost want to say, like, I don't even want to watch movies 13 rated these days. So be careful of what you watch. This is definitely applicable for men as well. Amen? But it's important, women, young women speaking to you. And I just want to say, an adulterous affair will not meet your needs. It will leave you much more broken, much more hurt, much more things we need to deal with. So if that's even in your thoughts, you know, bring that to the Lord this morning. We'll get some, we'll have some time at the end. Okay, then we see it goes over into working at home. Okay, this may sound quite controversial, and we may ask the question, you know, is this outdated? Okay, it's not meaning so much working at home, meaning everyone should be at home, but rather be when you are at home, you should be working. Okay, working to love your household. Okay, and we can see that because we see in Proverbs 31, if we read the Proverbs 31 wife, verses 16 to 18, it speaks quite a lot of, she considers a field and she buys the field. And with the money that she earns, she plants a vineyard and she also trades. So this Proverbs 31 woman is not someone that only sits at home looking at the kids. Amen. But it is someone that is, you know, a lot involved in the house, working when you're at home, okay? And it doesn't mean you moet skoor al goed was die hele tyd as jy by die huis is. That's not what it means, but to love them. I mean, to be present. This should be, the household should be your first priority. And I even want to say it's so important when there's activities that keeps you busy or even a career that keeps you busy, that it should be carefully prayed about. Amen. Should be carefully prayed about, especially when it comes to the wife. Okay. It's not wrong. Just be careful. And yes, definitely, like I said, whether you have a career or what, if you're busy doing other things, activities, buying a field, I don't know who of you wants to plant a vineyard, but it's important to have your household as your first priority. And you should make the home a place of safety, amen, for the kids, for the husband. How does a place of safety look? I always think of when we bought our first house. We bought this yellow house with a red roof. And it was quite ugly, but I didn't mind. Like, I was like, yeah, lekker, excellent on play. And my wife is like, we need to paint this place. I was like, it's expensive. And okay, so when we got into the house, there was this, I don't know if you remember this round yellow bulbs. It's really from the 80s probably. I don't know, from the 50s maybe. But it's really ugly. It makes this yellow light everywhere in the house. And the house was yellow inside as well. So, okay, we painted the house inside and we changed the lighting. And I was like, yes, like, it looks nice. And it was Yanda's idea, you know. It was the wife's idea to make the home a beautiful place. We also changed a lot of the kitchen after a while. But like I said, like for us men, it's not that important. But now, if I go into someone's house where there's a single guy living, I'm like, yo, you need a wife. It's like, yo. And I was also so confronted, you know, when Yandas walks into my hostel room, she always said that it's unneat. I'm like, no, it's not unneat. It's probably the neatest in this hostel. And when I look back, you know, I understand. You know, I understand that she wants to make things beautiful. She's the one that goes and sweeps there in the corner where nobody goes. So yeah, it's beautiful. And yeah, you know, do you, and what I want to ask, you know, is are you a wife that not necessarily sweeps in the corners, but wants to make the house beautiful? Always when I look at a household and I see the children dressed, you know, you can see the wife's hands in that household, and it's so beautiful. Are you a wife that loves your kids and your husband? Okay, and then we see the next word is kind. So that word kind can also be translated to good. And a lot of scholars, they say that it is linked to working at home. So it's working at home, being good. It's actually saying, you know, you need to be good at working at home. So it follows the same theme, but I feel that it's quite separate. I feel that it's there's an intention why it's said, you know, after. And like I said, it can be both. But I felt it must be someone that's nice to be around. I mean, if you are at the house, you need to be kind. And another example that I'd like to use is when you get that moments of chaos in your house, well, I just want to open the door and start slapping children, you know. My wife is the one that holds them. And she's like, don't cry. And I'm just like, yo, I need that kindness. Amen. I need that kindness. And therefore, are we kind, you know, when people speak to us, you know, loving people well. Proverbs 31 as well, it says, when she opens her mouth and with wisdom, there's loving instruction on her tongue. It's beautiful. There's loving instruction on her tongue. We also see Philippians 2 referring to Christ, saying instead of being motivated by selfish ambition or vanity, each of you should in humility be moved to treat one another as more important than yourself. Each of you should be concerned not only with your own interests, but about the interests of others as well. You should have the same attitude towards one another that Christ Jesus has. So when we look at Jesus, he had this beautiful attitude of loving other people more than himself. And I think that's what this word kind refers to. You know, are you a wife that are kind, that loves others more, especially your household? And I know, like, when you get a husband, it's the first step. You're like, I'm sacrificing a lot, yeah? And then when you get children, it's like, whoa, it gets a lot now. It's a sacrificing process and as well as sanctifying one. And are you still kind? Amen. Are you kind to those around you? Then lastly, we see and submissive to their own husbands. We spoke, I think it was last year, May, in Relationship Month, spoke about Ephesians 5. It spoke a lot about the head of the house, and we'll see now in 1 Corinthians as well. But you may ask this question, why should one submit under the other one? You know, why is it even a thing? If you are a woman, it's because God designed it this way. Amen. And he knows best. Amen. We, just to use an example, if you have two generals that wants to go fight in a battle and they are on the same team, and both of these generals, they develop a battle plan to defeat the enemy, you cannot have both these plans. Amen. You need to choose one of these plans. And therefore, you know, God designed it in this order that they should work together, but ultimately it's the husband that leads, and therefore the wife submits. It's the same with Jesus and the Father. They are equal. They are both God, but they are different in function. Amen. God the Father is the one that has the authority. Therefore, Jesus asks, you know, the Father, you know, may this cup go past me, but if it's your will, I'll drink it. You know, and that should be the attitude that you have as women, amen, to be saying, I'm going to submit under my husband because that is what I'm going to be accountable for one day. 1 Corinthians 11:3 just emphasizes this. It says, but I want you to know that Christ is the head of every man, and the man is the head of a woman, and God is the head of Christ. And it doesn't mean that men are more smart. It does also not mean that they are more able. But it is important to submit under what God teaches us in His Word. And it also does not mean that you can walk over your wife, men. We should be loving them in the same way that Christ loves the church and laid Himself down for her, which is a tall order. So it's a very tall order for both. But if both of this happens, it's a beautiful marriage. Amen. So I want to ask the ladies this question. Do you allow your husband to lead? Do you allow your husband to lead? Because you can disallow him to lead. Okay? With every decision that he makes, you can kick and scream and revolt. And you can do that, but it's going to be a difficult marriage because it's not God's design. But definitely, the husband, the loving husband, hy sal jou betrek, né? He will make you part of the decisions. But ultimately, he's the one that decides. And there were, you know, a time in our marriage, it was quite early, luckily, but where Yanda came to me and she's like, okay, because this is the design, I want to submit under you and I want you to help me to submit under you. And it was a beautiful moment. I was like, I like it. No, I'm just joking. But that is God's design. I mean, and from there, it was much more beautiful. So our difficult decision in our household, well, not always, but mostly looks like, is like Yanda will come to me and she will say, okay, I'm not sure. You know, this is a difficult decision. This is what I see. This is the good things that I see. This is the downfalls. But this is what I'm going to be accountable for, and therefore I'm saying I'm happy with both and I'll submit under whatever you choose. Or she'll say, I prefer this, but you can make the decision. Amen? And that is beautiful. It allows me to make the decision. Because if she constantly nags and kicks and screams, it's very difficult for me to decide. And also, I want to almost make the other decision. Maar rarig nou. Nee, so it's hard for us. It's hard for men to lead well when there's this constant revolt. Okay, but when it's beautiful, it's a beautiful marriage. Okay, when we submit well. And I like to use the simple example of a steering wheel. And we all know this story, né? When we are in the car, who speaks a lot about how to drive? You know, the wife. She tells you exactly how to drive. And I'm just joking, but as there is obviously instances like that, there was a guy that I knew. They were married like 1 year. And this happened, and then one day he just stopped. He stopped next to the road. He's like, kom, jy gaan nou bestuur. You're going to drive now. And she's like, no. I'm sorry. I says, no problem. Here's the steering wheel, you drive. No. I won't say anything anymore. And that's the way it feels often when you want to dominate. And as you are driving, we as men have the steering wheel, we have the pedals, we have the gear lever, but you are not in charge. Nah, because you know someone is saying to you all the time where to go, where to park, where to stop, where to watch out. Amen. And I want to ask you, you know, in your marriage, are you letting your husband drive? Or do you want to drive all the time? So don't put on the pants. Amen. Okay, but it is beautiful when it's done in God's design. We're making a few jokes, but it is important. Amen. And then we end off, you know, that the word of God may not be reviled. So all these things is important so that the word of God, some other translations say that it may not be slandered. So that that we are not hypocrites. Amen. So that it is a beautiful, God-honoring thing that we do. If we do this, we honor God's word. God is calling us to be a beautiful bride, to be a church full of beautiful households. And I want to say, women, you have such a large part to play. Amen. In this beautiful design, you are irreplaceable. And when we struggle to obey, when we struggle to submit, when we want to take control, when we struggle to, you know, be submissive to our husbands, it's mostly out of hurt, a heart that's not fully surrendered to King Jesus. And it may change. There may be a season where you get it right, but there may come seasons where you're struggling. And I want to say that God has grace with that, but He wants you to repent. He wants you to turn back to Him. At the end of the day, it's what our heart desires. Does your heart desire to follow King Jesus and to be a beautiful wife and to have these qualities? Amen. Proverbs 4 verse 23, I think most of us may have heard it, but it says, guard your heart because everything flows from it. You cannot stop something if it's in there. If we spoke about slandering last week, it's very difficult not to slander if you haven't forgiven. If you have someone that you have not forgiven, it's difficult not to slander because it's the fruit of the root. The root is pain, it's hurt, it's unforgiveness. It will come out ugly. These qualities will not meet God's design when the root is ugly. Amen. Do you desire, once again, to do God's will? And that brings us to our second point this morning, which may sound almost as if it's not focused on this sermon at all, but it is so much focused on this sermon. And it asks this question for both men and women. You know, guard your heart and desires because your heart is deceitful. What is your desire? Is your desire to have these qualities? Because if you love Jesus, these qualities will flow from your life. It's just fruit. Amen? And it's fruit that we can identify. I'm struggling with this fruit. And therefore we can know that there's a root that we should fix, that Jesus should heal. Amen? And how do we receive healing? Well, James 5 says, pray with one another and confess your sins. So that's what we're going to do. Amen. So let's do that. You know, as we are growing older, God wants us to grow in our godliness, in our holiness, to look more like Him, as I said. So to throw up all the points there this morning, you can throw us that last slide, basically, Peter. It says, just ask that question. How's it going with loving your husband and children? And how's it going with your heart and desires? And then it says, let's pray for one another to love our households well. Pray for our hearts to have a desire to do God's will and desire the things He wants us to desire. So I want to ask, if you are a small group leader here this morning, can you just come and stand with me in the front? I want us to have the opportunity to come and pray with someone in the front, but you are also welcome to turn to someone as well. But I want you to have the opportunity to come and pray with someone that's a leader as well, especially if you are a woman today, especially if you are a wife, especially if you are a mother this morning and you feel that there's a need to be prayed for this morning. Okay, so I'm going to pray for us, and then I want you to just come to the front if you need prayer. If you are here in the front, you can pray for one another as well. You can turn to someone as well and pray with someone. So let's close our eyes and let's just pray. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this morning, Lord. We thank you for this beautiful design of the household. We pray, Lord, for each woman, and in fact, Lord, we pray for husbands as well, Lord. We pray for the men that sits here today as well, Lord. We pray for our hearts as well, Lord. We pray that we will lovingly lead our households, Lord. Yeah, and for the women this morning, Lord, I pray that this will be our desire, Lord, to follow you, King Jesus, that you will be the King of our hearts. Thank you for your beautiful work on the cross, and that you have died for us to have a life in abundance, Lord, that we should not need, Lord, to have a hurt and pain, Lord, but that you can come and set us free, Lord. You can come and heal us. And that's what we're asking for this morning, Lord. May we turn from our wicked ways, Lord. Our hearts are deceitful, Lord. It's wicked. And we ask you to help us to guard our hearts. May we be a beautiful bride, Lord. We want to prepare ourselves for when you come back, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. So won't you, if you want to come and pray with someone, you are welcome. If you want to pray with someone in your seat, you're also welcome. But please don't miss the opportunity that the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life this morning. Amen. If you are done, you're welcome to go and get a coffee.